Be Afraid, because Torsten Kipton, the horror author, is talking poetry. There's a whole conversation going on the Mandolin Minute channel. I recommend you pop over there, subscribe. There's good stuff going on over there. And the awkwardness of poetry, and the secret nature of poetry, and the place of it in our culture, how pretentious it can be, or how true it can ring. Those are all topics I want to talk about, and I don't write a lot of poetry, but I've written enough to say I'm not a grandmaster poet. Also, I have some ideas on it, and I want to share those with you, especially on why we can't critique poetry or why we feel that it's somehow forbidden. There are two general reactions people have to poetry. One is to believe that it's something complex, mystical, and inaccessible because only the learned and the studied and the well-versed, so to speak, will really understand poetry. And so by commenting on it without being one of these intellectual elites, so to speak, or artistically elite, or whatever we want to coin that, without having that status, without being part of that in crowd, we can only make ourselves look foolish by commenting from some state of ignorance. The second extreme is that everything is poetry, and not just poetry, but good. It holds the merits that we imagined that first group to have. And I'll be honest, most of the people who I know who believe this second extreme fall into the group of people who write poetry, people who imagine their poetry to be merited regardless of what the actual poem is. Like the skin that forms on the surface of simmering milk, both of these are reducing the flavor and they're reducing the way that poetry gets dispersed through some sort of evaporation, in a sense. So I think that we need to disregard both those ways of thinking and adopt a third, which is that you can call things poetry, but doesn't give them any merit. You can say that they're not poetry, and it doesn't take merit away from them. And the idea that something is poetry doesn't give it any special advantages over any other sort of writing or speaking or anything like that. That first interpretation of poetry, that poetry is art, it's complex, and it's an execution of some sort of mastery, makes it not only hard to read or to comment on, but it really makes it inaccessible to write unless you have some overblown ego and believe that, I am an artiste and everything that I write, of course, is poetry. My intention transforms my every word into poetry. Gold lyrics roll off the end of my tongue. Realistically, that's not how real poets think of themselves, if I can be so bold as to generalize real poets as if I have some sort of authority on it. Before I float away pontificating in generalizations about poetry, let me reel it back in and talk about some of the poetry that I've written. As a child, I wrote simple rhyming poetry, usually A, B, A, C, so only two rhyming lines, and that was very derivative. A lot of the things I said were basically regurgitated things I'd read in poetry, just a little simplified because I was a child and I hadn't written much. And so over time I evolved. Pinky out, here I am, 2017, writing silly joke poems. I started writing written word poetry to share with a young adult group in my church because someone gave me an opportunity, a good friend of mine, Eric, over from the Specialty Coffee Talk channel and the Shady Podcast channel. And Eric gave me a chance to share something every week. I started writing this spoken word poetry. It was all jokes. The first one was called French Roast, and it was a roast poem on Starbucks because we're coffee freaks and Starbucks burns their beans. And I dragged that one out for way too long, and that was part of the joke, was how excessive it really was. That's the way I write poetry. I don't have the confidence in my own poetic abilities to go ahead and do something serious. And That might be the mistake of early poets, is taking themselves very, very seriously when what they're writing is very, very derivative. It's a reflection of what they've seen someone else do, and ultimately, it rings amateurish, just like my poetry does. While I was flailing and swinging, I feel like I smashed both categories with a very wide mallet. And let me examine the pieces of the second category a little bit more in depth so I can be a little clearer about what I'm saying and kind of diffuse this guilt over criticizing poetry or this feeling like it's inaccessible so that we can all enjoy poetry a little bit more or maybe a lot more if we didn't enjoy it at all before. The pieces of the second category. First, this category is people who believe everything can be poetry, and all poetry is art, and all art is beautiful, so in that way, we can't really criticize it. Or if we do, we're missing the point, and how ignorant of us. But here's the problem with that. Not all art is beautiful. Some art lacks freshness or lacks skill in execution, and really, not everything has merit, and if everything did have merit, then nothing would be special for having merit. You know what I mean? But really, at the heart of it, even if you push aside this whole idea that the whole thing is beyond scrutiny, when you do start to scrutinize, there's usually some sort of a structure to poetry, something that differentiates it from ordinary prose, which are much more approachable to criticize. Poetry typically has some sort of a rhyme or a line length or a rhythm that if you change any sentiment or few words, you really have messed it up for pretty much a huge chunk of the poem. And that is very uncomfortable to do. Poetry, because of its structure, has this special ring of finality that we want to agree with. We don't want to break it down. And that is really one of the things that makes it uncomfortable. It feels like it's a finished piece and nothing about it can be changed, or it's not the same thing at all anymore. And then there are other times. There are times when someone claims something is poetry and there's no discernible rhyme or reason, yes, that is a pun, to what makes it poetry other than the person who claims it is. And when someone claims it's poetry and it sounds bad, that's the most uncomfortable scenario of all, because they've claimed that it has a special significance or a special consideration put into it, but it rings sour in your ears. So what do you do about that? Well, you can ignore it altogether. Some things you just don't criticize because they're not worth your effort and time. And sometimes you can just give someone a general encouragement, keep working on it. And maybe that's the best thing you can do. Depends on who's reading you the poetry or who's sharing it. That one's a tough situation. Let me regale you with an anecdote about when someone I knew personally shared their poetry with me. Poetry they had written for a woman, who they shared with me, Torson Kipton, the amateur poet who really doesn't have any confidence in his wordsmithing skills for rhymes, but I'm caught in this crossfire here, because I'll tell you what, this guy, he lived in close proximity with me, lived past tense in close proximity with me, but he had an interest in women, and was chatting them up online, and expected this poetry to blow over beautifully, to sweep women off their feet, as it were. And it is the vein, it is in the vein of the moon is so silver, and your beauty is vast like the mountains. Things like that. Things you've heard probably 20 times in poetry just accidentally. Things you didn't want to hear. Things that you heard too many times. And where did that put me? I said, well, you know, it takes time and it takes practice. And some of this is natural poetry, which is the most common kind to start with. You talk about the beauty of nature, because we all have an appreciation for that. And for me, it's all about finding freshness, new ways of thinking about those things that I've never thought about before. So I encourage you to do that. that was the best I could do. And not long after, he met someone, got engaged within a couple of days of knowing them, and was married days after that, and yikes. That was a weird situation too. So, if someone's showing you really bad poetry, look out. They might get married to someone they don't know within a week. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, what's happening? I echoed your pieces, your segments on poetry, and I used Paul's piece to kind of launch it. But I added a couple of segments myself on the whole notion of art and poetry and stuff. So anyway, thought you might want to check it out. All right. Thanks for the discussion. Cheers, man.
I am nothing if not a filthy tryhard. So I'm going to read for you a poem that I wrote specifically as a self-deprecating joke based on the premise of amateur natural poetry. Poetry that, in my version, detests nature, and that most famous topic of poetry's praise, which is the sunset. I also took that concept that Larry from the Daily Larb used when he said that everything is art, and I kind of turned that on its head. I thought, as I often do, too much about it, and thought, well, what really could be art if everything is art? Could your footprints be art? Could your shadow be art? And in some ways, you really could make those things art, couldn't you? But for me, the line's drawn at intention. Were you doing it with artistic intention? And then you have to look at the merit of their intention and execution and the reception and all sorts of other things. But that's neither here nor there. What I'm going to do is in the next segment, read for you this poem that I wrote about. It's a poem of nature, but it's very Torsten Kipton style, where I make nature the object of my ire. My eyes water as I watch the sunset, odious stain that it is. What monster paints the horizon red with blood that isn't his? How hideous is this tired omen, the sun a reddened eye, bloodshot, burning, but slowly closing, as not to see our women die. I turn away and retch and vomit on my shadow, black and pale. The sickly thing streaks away like a comet, with me at the end of its grisly tail. What demon haunts the shadow that now splits while I watch? If I meet the one who spawned this blackened art, I'll stab him in the crotch. My footprints are art also, and they change form as I run. A sickly moon bays the song of hell, howling the horror has begun. The wolf used to wait for midnight to tear out of my flesh, but the bloodthirst boils within me since my wife's untimely death. The wolf blinks away my human tears, and when its eyes open next, I taste innocent blood a-dripping thick upon my breath. The walls are streamed with ribbons red from all those whom I ate. The wolf inside is satisfied until the sunset that I hate. I reckon that's about all the salt I have to offer on the topic of poetry. If you want to hear more, listen to literally anyone else, not a poet. But do appreciate your listenership, and if you're interested in more cool content, like what you've heard on Be Afraid, might want to subscribe to the Narrative channel or the Narrative podcast. You're going to be seeing original stories. It's January 2018, not 2017, as I may have suggested earlier in the podcast. So, subscribe to Narrative. You get original Torsten Kipton stories. They'll be free. How about that? Go America. Freedom and free is the right way to be. Thanks again for listening. Have an excellent and creative day. Get out there, write poetry, read it, and enjoy it. It's there at your fingertips, and no one can tell you you're not fancy enough to read and write and comment.